not to question God, but back to just you telling me I had this knife up to this nigga's throat, and you now you want to say,
"Nah, bro, don't do it." I just wanted to see how far you was gonna go. I wanted to see how much you love me, nigga.
I would have felt like I was in an abusive relationship. I would have been like, "Whoa, stop this!"
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
You are now tuning in to the Awkward Thinking Podcast.
Welcome back to the Awkward Thinking Podcast. I'm your boy Nas, aka Stage.
What up, I'm Ben.
And we are the friends you never knew you needed. All that and a bag of chips. Regular guys with awkward lives. A safe space for weird thoughts. Awkward Thinkers. White people claps in the building. Yes. Events, what else should they do?
Make sure you liking, you commenting, you subscribing, making sure you interacting with the page on all platforms. If you follow us on Apple Podcasts, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever it is that you follow us on, make sure you're in the comments and you interacting. Give us some feedback on the show, and then make sure you share. Make sure you are subscribing. You have to hit the subscribe button so we can get paid.
Yeah, make us your leaders, man. Like, join us. That's it. Join this cult. Yes. Make sure you're joining us every single day. You are giving you the greatest content that it can be, and that's what it is, and that's what it always will be.
And we won't ask you to drink the punch at the end of the cult party. Facts. You don't got to drink the punch if you don't want to.
That is facts. We not going. We are king consents.
Consent. I fuck with that. Yeah, see? It's like the KKK, but with a K and a C.
Yeah, and with black people.
Yeah.
So yeah. So like always, we're doing something new. So I know a lot of y'all was like, "Oh, where's the new set?" Surprise!
We're back in our own studio.
We're back in the old studio. It feels great to be back in the old studio.
We was just talking about homecoming, and look at us back.
Yes, it does. It does feel great. So we're trying something new, and I know like it's like, "Oh, y'all always trying something new." Well, and guess what? We ain't blow up.
And bitch, you still here. Literally. Look at you. You still in the DMs. You still trying to keep up with niggas. So
literally.
Obviously you like it. You like it here.
So my thing is, so we're going to start bringing things to the table, because a lot of the times, me and Vince, we want to bring a lot of shit to the forefront. We need to let y'all know, like, you know, enough of our lives. Y'all get enough of that throughout the episode. Mm-hmm. So now we just going to start bringing shit to the forefront that we see on our day-to-day lives, or what we seen that was a little just, I think it just needs to be, you know, set it all out.
Yeah, work, or not work with us, but I would say, you know, like we always say, just keep an open mind, keep God in your heart, fuck nigga. Nah, I would say just keep an open mind and stick with it. You know, give us some feedback on how you like the new updates of the show, of the structure and everything. Let us know what it is that you fucking with and what you not fucking with. Also, just give us some time. Let us, you know, ease into it a little bit.
Yeah. So, what are you bringing to the table today, man?
All right, so other day I'm sitting around and I was like, I be wondering about weird shit. I ain't gonna lie, I be wondering about some weird shit.
Like what type of weird shit?
Awkward shit, I would say.
Oh, you know? So on brand. Yeah. Oh my god, you know, some awkward
shit. But no, I was thinking, and I'm like, are we God's pets?
Oh, okay, I'm following you. Go ahead.
Because I'm thinking, I'm like, the way that God operates with us, He bothers us when He wants to. Like, when He feels like it, when it's like, "Oh, I want company."
Yeah.
He fuck with us. But it's like, that's it. It's outside of that. You not saying you don't get nothing else outside of that, but it's like, I feel like a pet.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm here. I feel like God made us and was like, "Oh, this is going to be really, really fun." Like, we was a DIY project. And imagine, God is like we are Sims for God.
We are.
God really came in and was like, "I'm gonna give y'all niggas some little stuff, some resources so y'all can build some stuff, y'all can get y'all somewhere, but I'm gonna need a couple plot lines." Like, that's why God calls us His strongest soldiers. It's like, I need y'all to do these certain things so I can have like some type of plot going on. I need entertainment. We are God's entertainment.
You got to think of some of the stuff that we do as humans is sick work.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think that God has kind of like a sick mind, the things that we do as humans. That's what I would.
Okay, so my thing is it really that sick? Because it's like when we think of, if you've ever had a Sims character, you probably had them do some dumb shit. You probably had your Sims get pregnant and then throw the fucking baby away. How many babies have been like, you know,
left in the fucking crib with the flies and shit around it while somebody talking about I've
literally caused infidelity. Mm-hmm. I've made my Sims do drugs. I've made my Sims fuck, but I've made them cheat. Yeah. But I'd be thinking like, maybe we're like, this is the things that God want to do, but since he's so good that he can't do to some of the shit that he can't do.
I don't want to say God is not good, because it's not that. What the fuck? But I feel like God is, he's what the fuck is that? Omnipotent?
Oh, I don't know.
Omnipotent. It's like he's like one of the most powerful beings. So it's like, fuck being good. Nigga, I control everything. I say what's good. I say what's wrong. And it's like, again, it's like even with ants and bugs and stuff, there are certain things that we do with ants. We had drawn a whole ant colony and not think nothing of it, because it's billions of the motherfuckers, trillions of the motherfuckers, more than we can even count or whatever. So it's like, I think God looks at us like that. Like, the way we probably think God looks at us, or we hope God looks at us and be like, oh, these are my precious creatures.
Yeah.
I created these things. God be like, I wonder what the fuck they doing over in Africa today. Yeah. I'm going to go tune in and then see what the hell is going on.
I'm
going
to cause famine.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah, just to see how they operate. I'm going to cause famine, see how they get out that shit.
And God probably be doing some shit where he be like, I'm going to go over here and tell these niggas I'm a different person.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell them to operate like this. And then I'm going to go over here and tell them to operate like this and get some shit started.
Yeah.
God is a producer.
He is. He is. He's the best filmmaker. Mm-hmm. He might be better than Tyler Perry when it comes to making films, because ain't no way nobody be making them storylines like God.
I swear to God. Whoever got my suffer plot line, Tyler Perry wrote that shit. Tyler Perry wrote this shit.
He's the cause of all our trauma, all our pain. No, but I was like looking at fucking Toy Story, and it was literally the same shit. It was like, what happened? Like the claw. Remember the claw part? And it was like, he was like, who's your leader? And it was like the claw, and it's like he picks and chooses who comes and goes or some shit like that. And
oh,
and he was like, we go to a better place. So I was like, damn, as a kid, that shit was showing me like, it's really what you really believe in, honestly. Yeah.
And it's up to our perception too. It's everything. We can only interpret things to the best of our perception. Right. And so if we like you said with the claw thing, if the claw is what controls everything, and we look at that and we say that's God for us, then we don't know we don't know who God is and what he is. What I will say is, though, them motherfuckers in them Bible stories was either off drugs, off they mental, or some other shit. My nigga, you spoke to a burning bush?
Yeah.
A burning bush?
That's some tough work. That was always a like one of those things where I was like, tough for me to really like how does this work.
And I think now, being older, knowing about mental health, knowing about things like schizophrenia and like voices and shit, knowing that people have those things, that the nigga who wrote the Bible could have just been a nigga off his medicine.
Yeah.
Or just didn't have Ritalin at the time, or whatever it is that people take for schizophrenia or something. You telling me you had and nobody else questioned it was like, yo, that's a problem. You talking to a burning bush? What did it say?
We would pass a homeless person. Let a homeless person say, I talked to God. It's like, man, get the fuck out of my face.
Literally. A homeless person, God is coming. He told me that it's going to be this and that. We go look at you like, are you crazy as hell? Because why would God be talking to you? But then you got this random nigga in the Bible, and we was just like, yeah, God told Christopher that. I know God had to tell Christopher that. Nobody knew of God before. You know, these niggas started talking about God.
And horror films tell us not to listen to the voices. So if we are avoiding the voices, that's probably what it is.
I think, I'm not gonna lie, I'm stuck on the burning bush.
Yeah.
Cause I just feel like, how did we accept that? And not to question God, cause I would hate to, you know, accurate.
This is gonna be our last day.
Yeah. But I need to know how we went from niggas speaking to bushes and it being biblical or prophetic to women learning how to do medicine and then we burning them because they're witches and shit. Where was that transitional period? What happened during that time? Niggas was like, yeah, if a man, you know, hear some shit or do some shit, it's cool, but when a woman does it, it's like, witch!
Yeah.
Burner!
That is crazy. That is crazy how things shift and it'd be like, oh yeah, this is cool. This man can part water. This man can multiply fish.
Literally. This nigga parted the seas and had a whole group of people walk through it. A whole cult of motherfuckers walk through the seas.
Literally.
But a person who's learning how to use herbs to like cure some fucking shit, cut or something, is a witch.
if you hear a voice telling you, hey, you need to kill your son so you can have more family, mm-hmm. and that's some tricky shit. And
not to question God, but back to just you telling me I had this knife up to this nigga's throat, and you want to say, nah, bro, don't do it. I just wanted to see how far you was gonna go.
I wanted to see how much you love me, nigga.
I would have felt like I was in an abusive relationship. I would have been like, whoa, stop this. What is happening?
God gaslight.
I feel like we don't question enough. What? And again, it'd be like, God,
he ain't want to do it either.
Yeah, it'd be like, why did you have me do this? What was the purpose of this?
That's funny as fuck.
What I'm bringing to the table is work ethic. Me, my grandma was, I was sick. I'm still fucking coughing and shit. So my grandma tells me, she's like, you need to go to work. You need to, you know, push through the sickness or some shit like that. And I was just telling her.
Go ahead. I feel like you're missing parts of the story. Let the people know what you were doing the day before the call offs and everything.
So I was at homecoming, which was a cesspool of germs and hugs and sharing fucking bottles. Mm-hmm. So yes, I feel like, and I was probably sweating, and then the temperature fucking changed. So yes, I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, let me not get fucking sick. Mm-hmm. Well, I got sick. So. Yeah, nonetheless, I fucking got sick, and I was off fucking work for 2 fucking days, and I was ill, and I ain't leave my room. Usually, if I'm sick, I still be running around, shit like that. I was in my room damn near the whole fucking day.
You just needed to rest because it was homecoming.
That's not true.
And your grandma called you out on it.
She did, and I didn't like her for that, because mm-hmm. you know why? Because I feel like me being overworked, I'm not abusive. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the old dudes back in the day who was working hard and shit was abusive. So if I don't have time to relax and mm-hmm. do the shit that I need to do,
I'm gonna get abusive.
I'm gonna get, yeah, I'm gonna see red. You know what I mean?
It's gonna be ready to eat for everyone.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, and it's just like, to avoid that, I don't need to, like, I feel like I don't need to work hella long. My name is not Ernest. Mm-hmm. I don't need to work a fucking at a steel mill or, you know, I don't need to provide for a fucking family. It's just me right now.
Yeah, I do think people be forgetting that. I saw this old woman. She was on like Facebook going on a rant, and she was like, back in my day, these niggas used to go out there, had 3-4 jobs at a factory, working and doing this and bringing home money for you and your family. Yeah. And they used to have multiple fucking families, Cheryl. That's why they had 3-4 jobs, to support 3-4 different families. Yeah.
But do you think sometimes are we used to the bare minimum, though, when it comes to working? Like, all right, we're at a point where I can just do my job.
I do hate, I don't like the bare minimum attitude, especially in certain places. I feel like, certain places you can't have the bare minimum, especially customer service kind of jobs. If you want to work some shit where you like you painting or whatever, you can do the bare minimum. Because then, as a person who's paying you to do this, I can choose how much I, or not choose, but I can say, oh, you did not do to my, you didn't do what you were supposed to do as far as my expectations, so I don't want to pay you as much, and then we can negotiate or whatever, or I can have you fix whatever needs to be fixed. But when you're doing McDonald's, customer service, medical, any of that shit, you working with people or you got to interact with people, my nigga, I need you to come in that bitch. I need you to put on that suit. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
And I need you to be in there. I need Chick-fil-A customer service every time.
Actually, they're falling off. And I haven't gotten my pleasure in a long fucking time. And I don't know what it is. Maybe
is it you?
I think it's ran by Christians. That's what it is.
Oh, my God.
And I think that since they're not for equality, mm-hmm. I feel like it's not equal for me to get the same shit. That's what I'm saying.
But no, I've like, because I've been Ubering and shit, I've had like a couple more experiences with like fast food and like just doing different stuff. And it's like them people you come in, I get this is not your dream job. That is perfectly fine. When I walk through the door, greet me. Say hello. Welcome to the store or whatever. And then when niggas come up to the counter, instead of having somebody wait there for 5 minutes without saying nothing to them, I feel like that's so rude. Don't have me walk up to a counter and you not say nothing to me for 5-10 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's rude. Even if you are busy, you can say, hey, give me 1 second, sir. I'll be right over there to you in a second.
Well, I look at it like you coming into somebody's house. You
it's
know
not,
what I mean?
It's not your house.
It is. This is my place of work. This is where I call home, my second home. So this is where I clock in and clock out at. So when you come into my, and you come mm-hmm. to my work, my place of whatever the fuck, you say hello, and I'll say hello the fuck back. That I don't.
You're so backwards. But I kind of understand your logic, because I do think people think like that, because motherfuckers will treat that job like it's their second home, yeah, and not like coming in there to get money, but you just not taking care of it the same way you don't take care of your home.
Yeah, or them bills. Yeah. So, I mean, it does work in the same way. But I do think as this generation goes, I feel like that stigma of, well, I'm talking old as shit.
I think there needs to be professionalism, yeah, at work still. Yeah. I still feel like there needs to be a level of professionalism, just like, hey, this is the expectation.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Because we don't tune the finer details when it comes to dream chasing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it comes to that. But a lot of the times, I don't even think it's that necessary. I think you just hate your job or hate how life is going for you. Mm-hmm. Or you let life happen a lot of the fucking times. So, therefore, it gives you a place to be negative towards people that either didn't even do shit to you. Yeah. But you need to channel that. Because you don't have an outlet to do it. You know?
I agree. I think that's why some people work certain jobs. Bitch, if you work Section 8, you are bitter. You are not a happy person.
Yeah.
If you work at the BMV, you are not the happiest of persons. You got to, I think part of that is like, I have to come on and already be miserable. I have to show them during the interview like I'm not shit, or, you know, I have a shitty attitude, or at least I can be like aggressive to the customer or something.
I feel like I feel like me, this is, you have to be nice to me, this is reverse customer service. I feel like you have to be nice to me. The only reason why I feel like you have to be nice to me is because I feel like I'm handling your food. So I feel like you have to be nice, whether how I'm interacting with you. You have to be nice to me no matter what.
No.
Yes.
I will leave. I don't give a fuck that you making my food or whatever. If I feel like, and that's my thing too, if I do get to a certain point where I'm like, all right, I'm a little frustrated, yep, or I'm not liking the service, or I feel like, because of the service, I feel like sometimes that affects the way my food tastes. I feel like, because when I think back and I'm eating, I'm like, this shit don't taste good. It's because this motherfucker had an attitude and was just throwing my shit in there, this and that.
They make it with love.
Yeah, and so that, I will walk away. Like, I've had to walk away in Chipotle before and be like, let them make the whole bowl and everything, but because the service was shitty and because the attitudes, I'm like, all right, I don't actually want it, and just walked away.
So wasteful.
It.
That's what it is.
It's and hopefully wasteful. They gave it to the next person. Hopefully one of the.
I probably would have ate that shit if I worked at Chipotle.
I make some decent bowls for the most part, you know. Yeah. I don't put no fucking beans in it. I hate beans.
Yeah.
Beans is not my favorite.
It depends on how you make the beans. Like, I can do a black eyed peas.
I do like black eyed peas, yeah, with some sugar on it. I don't like. That's how my grandpa used to do them. But yeah. And, or some sweet peas with some sugar on them. Those aren't beans. But wait,
why is this all this fucking sugar? Nigga. This is what's wrong with our people now. It's sugar and fucking salt.
Yes, I told you, half of my family is diabetic. The other half got high blood pressure.
Are you a sugar grits guy? I know this is so off.
I am. I don't really care for grits, but if I am going to eat grits, I want sugar in my grits.
Why?
Because it makes it sweet. It's like, I don't fucking know. Ask people who eat... what's that one shit? Creamy wheat or whatever?
Creamy wheat. I love creamy wheat.
That shit is gross. But it's grits is not too far from that. They just blended that shit up a little bit more.
It's porridge.
I don't like that is considered porridge. I feel like...
it's hot cereal.
Yes, but I don't, when I used to watch porridge or like shit on the cartoons, like the Looney Tunes and shit or whatever, and they used to have porridge, that porridge looked like it was seasoned. Like it looked brothy and not like... that didn't look like cereal and shit.
They were poor. Everybody, all them cartoons.
That's why it's poor.
Yeah,
it's porridge because you pour some poor
just
shit.
Just some fucking slop. But that is necessarily all what I was bringing to the table. I just feel like you should just work within your means. Don't be overworked. Yeah. That's all I'm saying to the fucking point. You want to get into our first topic, sir?
Yeah. So the other day I was thinking. I read this thing, or I saw something on Facebook, and it was like, at the end of the world, there will be one man left, and then he will die. Or at the end of time, there will be one man left, and then he'll die. And then, you know, that'll be the end. And so it made me think, for some reason, it just made me think about time, like, as a concept. And I was like, at the end of time... basically, a man dies, and that's the end of time. And that's because as men or as humans, we construct the time ourselves. Like, time is there, but it's something that we kind of constructed for ourselves in order to track our days, track whatever. But I feel like part of me feels like doing that caused us to kind of speed forward a little bit. I feel like in a way, and not age, but like... I think about when I was a kid and how up until I started school and stuff, up until kindergarten and everything, I had no real concept of time. I knew, like, you know, days and nights and stuff, or, and, you know, hour or whatever. But because I had no responsibilities, I had nothing to do, I had nothing to really fit into that time.
Yeah.
I feel like shit moves so much slower. Like, the first part of my life, I'm only 28, but the first part of my life moved a whole lot slower than this next part. I feel like, I would say shit from like 15, 16, life started moving fast. Like, yeah, life picked up and it started moving a little bit faster than what I was used to. And I'm thinking, is it because we are active with things? Is it because of our awareness of time that time has moved up and, you know, caused things to... I do feel like time is moving by a little bit faster, definitely, than when I was a kid.
I hate the concept of time, honestly. It's only because... It puts so much stress on you.
It does. And
people always say, oh, it's the community putting stress on you. No, it's like your mental time clock. Like, it's like, for some people, it's like, oh, I don't have a family yet, and I'm this age, and time is not on my side. But it's like, stop giving time, if that makes sense. Just go through life how you want to go through life and not look at, oh, all right, at 9 o'clock I got to do this, and at this time I got to do this, and I've been so productive. Because I can still, even going back to our little work ethic thing, if I can do a lot in within this hour but not know it's an hour, I had a productive fucking day. And I think that time has always pressured us more than the next person, and I know people influence time even more for us.
Yeah. You do got different people who are like, okay, you have to have these things by this age, you need to be doing this by that age. We I know as men, we have different expectations for time and where we see ourselves than what women see themselves. For us, when we think of time, we think of like financial shit, we think of like you know, stuff like that. Women, they think of having kids because they have a biological time clock and stuff. And so I think for, there's so many, like you said, different pressures for us to look at different things. When am I going to be finished with school? When am I going to have kids? When am I going to get married? When am I going to find that dream job that I'm trying to have, or, you know, get the life that I'm looking for, or whatever? And how can I do all that within this amount of time so I can have the time to actually enjoy it later on? Yeah. Because we measure our time, when we do look at our time, it's not like we are looking at our time and saying, did I have value in this? We look at our time and we compare it to other people and we say, did I have value compared to those people?
Yeah.
Can they see value in what I'm doing? And everybody doesn't necessarily have to see value in what you're doing and how you are spending your time. I will say that. But you have to be able to be the one to say, I see value in this. I see why I'm giving my time to this or my energy or whatever. And you got to be the one around with it just to, you know, piggyback.
That's nice. That's
you
nice.
I try.
Do you want to get into our safe space?
Yes, we can.
So for today's safe space, necessarily it was a moment where we were just, you know, talking on the couch and things of that nature. And we're both, you know, well, I'm a single man. He's a man in a relationship, but we both don't have kids. That's the common thing that we have. And we were talking necessarily like, about candidly about something and about just parenting and shit like that, and how we see or how we want to parent our kids. And then I had a moment where I was like, well, I don't think we should be able to talk about how people should navigate parenting and shit like that, because we don't have any of our own to really give judgment.
I disagree. I feel like I'm not a big fan of those statements of you can't give constructive criticism as far as things unless you are experiencing it or whatever. It makes sense for certain things, but there are things that when it comes to parenting, I don't have to be a parent to know how a kid should be treated.
Yeah.
I don't have to be that. I've been a kid. I've had parents. I know how people should be treated or how people would like to be treated. And so I don't have to be one of those things. I also understand how kids operate. I understand not what makes kids happy and stuff, but what hurt kids, what does drive kids, what makes kids motivated for things, and how kids see things and how they perceive them when they are seeing them. And so I do feel like, regardless, if you, and I've also raised nieces and nephews. I've raised nieces and nephews. I've had a hand in that. Even still, it does not take nothing for somebody to be like, hey, I see how you could be affecting this person.
Yeah.
Regardless of you being, people be like, I'm a parent, so that you need to be, a lot of y'all be shitty parents. Yeah. But we not going to do that. This is supposed to be a safe space.
Yeah.
And so, like, what we do want to do today, though, is have a conversation around parenting, have a conversation around parenting correctly without, while holding y'all accountable, but without making y'all feel like less of a parent because you might have, you know, feel or maybe, you know, had a couple bumps in the road or whatever. I think that is, there's a difference between, a bad parent is a parent who can't change.
Yeah.
A bad parent is a parent who's unwilling to change for their child, unwilling to make differences. That's a bad parent. A parent, a flawed parent, or like a normal parent is somebody who messes up. You don't always have the tools and everything when you first have kids or whatever. But I do think there are certain things, and we talked about it. I feel like there are certain signs that let me know you are not really here to be a parent.
So I have a little segue to that, mm-hmm. but I have a little piece to that. You know how like people say like, oh, I'm the adult that I needed for
my childhood.
I don't like that. Really? I hate that.
Why?
And the reason why I hate it is just because sometimes when parenting, that's not, this child is new.
Yeah.
So what you think you're doing, like, figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, figure out the wants and the needs, not your own wants and needs for your child. Yes, it's certain things that you do. Like, it's borderline shit that you shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that makes sense. But a lot of the times, that's what we go in with the game plan already and not with a game plan that could be modified as mm-hmm. we go.
When we say, okay, I'm the person who I needed as a kid, that's more so meaning I'm the person who, when I was a kid, I needed somebody to talk to and could not find somebody to confide in.
Mm-hmm.
This, I'm that person for myself now, or I'm that person for kids now. I'm that person who, when a kid is having a situation when they're feeling embarrassed about something and don't want to address within the whole classroom, I'm like, hey, come on, let's step outside real quick and let's go handle something else. And then we discuss what the embarrassing thing is. I'm the person who explains to that kid why there does not need to be the feeling of the embarrassment and how, like, whatever they're experiencing or going through is perfectly normal. And I feel like that's what that is. That's not, like, coddling children. That's not being like, I think I get what you are saying to an extent. I think what you are trying to say, in my perspective, is the people who are like, I'm going to give my kids everything I didn't have and then give them motherfuckers Jordans with no education.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the toxic part of I'm going to be the person who I needed as a kid.
Sometimes, but also I'm also referring to like a helicopter parent as well.
Yeah, I don't think you should be a helicopter parent as a parent. But I do think we live in a world where it's hard not to be a helicopter parent. So many things are happening. So many things are taking place. Is it because I'm going back and forth?
What? Yeah, it is, but it's like, because my thing is just like, you can't, it's not okay to be a helicopter. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather be a lenient parent than a helicopter parent. Like, I'd rather be a helicopter parent when the development stages matter.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when it comes to those self, like, those moments where, developing moments, like, for self. Now, I'm thinking for self. Like, I can talk for myself. I can make choices for myself. I have to let you, like, with anything. I have to let you mm-hmm. make these bad choices. So you can either learn a lesson or whatever. I have to let you live your life.
Yes and no.
Okay.
As a parent, it is your job to be there to help guide your child, to help, to provide structure for your kid. So, yes, you can. I feel like, as a parent, let your kid know that the stove is hot. Warn them multiple times. Hey, the stove is hot. It's going to burn you if you touch it. And maybe even do the, so they know, like, you let them feel it. It's hot. It's not safe to touch. And then after that, yes, if I'm cooking and you come into that kitchen and I see you approach, I have to let you learn your lesson in order, not to get hurt, but I have to let you learn your lesson in order for you to, for it to get through, because obviously what I was doing for you wasn't receiving that well. You didn't receive it well enough. So now when you do touch that stove, hey, come here. I told you it was hot. Come on, let's run your, can't run it up under cold water because that's not what you're supposed to do. But let's go tend to this. Let's get this together. And see, this is why we don't touch the stove, because it is hot. Only reason why you should have a kid Or not only reason. I don't think you should have a necessarily only reason why you should have a kid. But I do think when you have a kid, you need to be aware of what that means to be able to bring that kid within this world. Mm-hmm. What kind of responsibility that's going to look like. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to sacrifice? Because, like, again, there are things I feel like as a parent you do. You have to sacrifice. You have to sacrifice your time, your energy, your blood, your sweat, and your tears, and your years. And you have to – I feel like as a parent, sacrificing means, again – I'm cooking you meals. It means that if I can breastfeed, I'm choosing to breastfeed instead of saying I don't want to breastfeed out of inconvenience. That has not nothing to do with anybody who cannot breastfeed, but those are for people who are able to breastfeed. If you choose, if you say, hey, I'm not going to breastfeed out of convenience for myself, even though you chose to bring a whole life into this world, that's selfish. And as a man who can't breastfeed or whatever, I will give you that, hey, that may not be my place to speak on. But I feel like there, as people who have kids together, there are certain shit that men need to be able to speak on. Because even as a man, I would say that bonding with your kid is essential. That not being able to, when you around your kid and all you feel like you could do is be tough in front of your kid, that is a problem. You need to be in front of your kid and be able to be weak. You need to be able to play tea parties and superheroes and cry and do all that other shit in front of your kids. That's how you build a connection. That's how you bond with your kids. There are things that as men we can do better. There are things that as women y'all can do better to build that bond with your kid and everything. And I just feel like we can't be selfish. We have to sacrifice pride. We got to sacrifice time, convenience, all of that. Because the kid did not ask to be here.
But necessarily. But that was just a little safe space for us, and we just wanted to give something for y'all to understand, like, you know, we're not parents, you know. Yeah. And, you know, we just want to give some of the things that we learn. And I think it's awkward, you know, mm-hmm. just to tie it in, it's awkward because you don't want to be told what to do. And some Facts. People don't like criticism.
And parents do not, I would say parents do not like criticism, especially from parentless kids.
Yeah.
Parents do not care for no type of criticism, shit, even from their own partner, like the fucking other parent, they don't like to hear certain shit from. So take everything that we say with a grain of salt, but do take it, try to process it. And I don't know if you remember anything from the safe space today. Just remember that, again, as a parent, it is your job to sacrifice. It is not that child's job at all. It is your job to sacrifice. And if you ever wonder if you are what kind of parent you are, ask yourself, what have you sacrificed in your kid's life for convenience, out of your convenience, versus what have you sacrificed for that kid to give them? And I'm not talking about fucking Jordans. I'm not talking about no Jordans, especially if your kid can't fucking read and they're in high school. If your kid can't read in high school, you failed them. Yeah. And not their teachers. Don't blame shit on the teachers. It's you.
Yeah, it's you, motherfucker. It's about that time where we leave you with a positive message to get through the week. Vince, I know, we're trying to figure it out. It's still, we're doing this new shit, man. We're doing this new shit. Okay, I'm still used to the old fucking shit.
And so the way that we are going to start ending off the show, instead of like we'll still give you positive messages, but we're going to kind of combine positive message with couch moments and like other things. And just basically give you something based off of something we've interacted with within the week, or something we saw, heard, or whatever that really resonated with us. And bitch, if you a One Piece fan, you know right now we are on a 6-month hiatus. It's really hard out here for some real niggas of One Piece. But this is your opportunity. If you have not started it, you got 6 months to watch it and finish it and get caught up to the rest of to the rest of us. One Piece did just drop a fan letter episode, and nigga, I could have cried. I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes I want to watch anime by myself so I can cry by myself, because it's like, this was so fucking good. I did not deserve this.
No.
Nigga,
too grown for that.
Ain't no too grown. And what it was, I think my message or whatever, again, I don't know, I've said this before, but I feel like for me, I think I'm missing hope, like, within my life. I feel like as a kid, I grew up reading a lot of stories, watching a lot of movies about just like these heroic ass characters going through stuff, and kind of like there's always being like this hopeful thing toward the end of it or whatever. And like, I feel like I was watching the episode and I'm like, I'm missing that. Like, this is that feeling of like, just feeling hopeful about something, and like, not saying I've just been pessimistic or whatever, but I think one thing I would say is, I don't know if it's because I have power over shit and like things have come to me, like I'm happy with a lot of things within my life or whatever, but I do think I'm missing hope. I don't know what it is that it's something there that's just missing. It's like not even to say hope, but it's like, it's that, I don't know, it's something. And it's like that episode brought me back to it though, and it was like, nigga, you're missing hope. You missing that feeling of like anything is possible, and everything is like, you can overcome anything. That's what you missing or whatever. And so like right now, I don't know, I'm still trying to find a way to get back to it. I'm trying to find a way to get back into that place, because I feel like that was a much happier place for me. Not like I just been depressed and shit, but I that feeling that I had while watching that episode, I remember feeling like that a whole lot, and I just want that again.
That's nice. Do I say my positive message anymore? The fuck?
Yeah.
My positive message, and I got like two, honestly. Mm-hmm. I want to start with Piece by Piece, man. I really, for real,
Kelly Clarkson song?
No, fuck that. Piece by Piece, by that movie by Pharrell Williams, was probably the top movie of the year. And now I'm gonna tell you why this shit was the top movie of the year.
You dicky.
I don't give a fuck. This nigga Pharrell, bro. Let me actually put some respect on this name. This man Pharrell. Mm-hmm. Let me not call him a nigga.
What's his last name?
Pharrell Williams.
Mm-hmm. What's his social?
624 57984. I don't know. Now, if that's somebody's actual fucking social. But nah, the reason why I say it was the movie of the year, number one, he put you in a space where I respect it so fucking much, because it's for everybody. It's for kids, it's for fucking adults. And I respect it even more because he didn't give you a lookalike that might ruin somebody's career. He gave you a Legos where now you're sitting in there and you're like, okay, I'm watching this, but it doesn't feel like I'm watching a Lego movie anymore. It feels as though I'm watching just Pharrell Williams, but it's just in a cartoon. And it's so comforting because as adults, we resonate with cartoons so much, and a lot of things are more palatable. It didn't show. I was. It didn't show like hella. It showed a part where it was like drugs, like they were smoking with Snoop Dogg and shit like that. It showed that part, but it still was so
professional and
it was so powerful. Tasteful, because it just took you to a different like area where it's like, we don't have to show that us as artists have to do drugs, or we don't have to have these mega downfalls in our biopics. Yeah, those are good and those are what selling points, but I'm showing you a world where you can do anything. I can show you my interpretation, my vision through this cartoon. I can explain it a little more through this cartoon. And what really resonated with me, because I was going through a time where I feel like that's why we're back in the space, because things set up for us to be. It wasn't like I chose it. I think things set us to be there. And it was a part in the movie where it was like he was trying to figure out what's the next thing and appeal to people and figure it out and do all these things. And it was just necessarily like he was not him. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he was running away from who he was to please other people. And I felt that in the midst of things. And a saying really resonated me just with that as well. Because I was always so in a rush to, especially in my 20s, to... I'm still in my fucking
20s. I was about to say, where the fuck is you at now?
I was in a rush, and especially because I'm in my 20s. And we have this thing of, I got to get to this place. I got to get to this place. But a saying really resonated with me, like, you don't want to be in the right place and be the wrong person.
Yeah.
And I was like, that it stuck with me so hard, because I'm like, you're right. I don't want to fuck up an opportunity being who I'm not. I'd rather be stuck right now and figure out how to get unstuck and be the best person I can be, and then go to that right place and be the right person. So though, that is my positive message to get through the week.
I would just say, piggying back, just finish it.
Niggas love that one, nigga. I didn't splice that one.
It was all right. But I will say I did like the movie. I know I took me a little intermission.
He
but
took a 20-minute fucking intermission in between the fucking movie. Not even. It was probably like 30 minutes.
Fact, I got another positive message. So my car recently got repo, right? And so me and Oz, that's what it was that day. I was out there trying to figure out a situation to my circumstances or whatever.
Yeah.
Me and Oz talked about it a little bit. He was like, I know about your situation. I ain't want to tell nobody because this and that I know. And I'm like, I'm not embarrassed. Like, I'm grown. I've seen too many people get their shit repoed to be embarrassed to not know that it does. I mean, to pretend that it doesn't happen to people, that it doesn't happen to the next person or whatever. And I just, I'm 28. I don't give a fuck. Because who gonna say something to me?
Me.
Who? But
me.
And Doug, somebody did try to say something, and I had to say, hey, you have not offered to give me shit towards this to get my shit back. So right now, your viewpoint or your thoughts, your sentiments don't matter to me. Or at least this isn't the... Because why the fuck do you wait till I'm down to try to kick me, bitch? What's your problem?
Well, that's the perfect time to do
it. But it's like, what's your problem? It was like, somebody was like, yeah, well, you know how you always try to get on us about this... I said, motherfucker, you beating your kids. I just lost my car because I ain't paid a fucking thing this month. There's a difference.
But that is the embarrassing part about it. When you're like the most preventative person and then the most preventative, like you should be on your shit and then that shit happens. No,
but that, I feel like there's a difference. There's a difference. Yeah, I'm like, hey, we should be doing these things. I'm irresponsible financially. I'm not going to fake and pretend like I'm not. Financially, I'm irresponsible. Do I not have the money or whatever to... I have the money. I was just using it for bullshit. And so that
drugs.
Yes.
Well, and so, not
and so that reflects back on me. But I'm also when the moment happened, I was aware of it and I was okay with not necessarily okay that my shit was gone, but I was like, I will figure out something. Yeah. But for anybody, I just felt like in that time, it taught me two things. Number one, don't try to kick me while I'm down, my nigga. It's a difference from me being like, hey, this is how you operate with your kids, and maybe if you didn't operate like this, y'all would have a better relationship, versus me not paying my fucking bill. I knew the consequences of not paying my bill or whatever. I'm aware of that. I just didn't fuck with that. But the other thing that it made me aware of, when it came time to pay my shit and to get my shit out, there was not too many people I could call on.
Yeah.
It was not too many people who was like, well, I got you. Motherfuckers had criticism and, oh, well, you should have. Bitch, I know I should have paid the shit earlier. I'm aware of that. We know that. I'm in a situation now. I know that. But it wasn't too many people who said, yeah, I got you. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Or, hey, let me try to see if I could do X, Y, and Z. And for me, I feel like that resonated with me really, like, a lot. Because I feel like for me, that just solidified, like, a lot of shit. It was like, and not that I don't want to be one of the people that's like, oh, I do for a lot of people. So then that made me change how I look at people.
Yeah.
But it did make me say, oh, it's time to take a step back and prioritize your family. Like, the family that I'm creating. And not to my roommates or anything, but just...
It's to us.
But it's, like, it's not y'all. It's not... I'm just saying, in general, though, I'm trying to create a family. And so that's what I need to be prioritizing right now to an extent. Outside of, you know, things that I do have going on. No, not even financially, but the way that I move, the things that niggas is about to see a change, and it's not gonna be like in the worst way or in the way that of like fuck anybody else, but I'm doing this for me and my family moving forward. Mm-hmm. And that's just what it is. I know they're not out there.
Ooh, no. I don't think so.
Just, hey. But and I'm sorry, I hope that didn't get too lengthy. But I just say all that to say, don't be embarrassed about the shit you got going on, especially when other people are going through the same thing, unless it's some embarrassing shit. I feel like it's up to you to determine what's going to embarrass you and what's not going to embarrass you.
Yep.
I don't have no shame because I have my car. Yeah. That bitch is sitting out there. I got it back two days later.
We hope after the studio that
bitch. Yeah, I hope so. I got the bitch back 2 days later, and one thing about it, I'll never be in that situation again, hopefully. Yeah. But
and that's a learning lesson. You know what I mean? Like from some real nigga shit. It's a learning lesson. And yeah, that's it. I ain't gonna get it too. We've been in the studio a little long.
It's getting a little hot in here.
It is. It's hot.
About to walk in this motherfucking
stuffy. Like these shit. Niggas fucking stink.
Yeah, they ain't gonna let us do
it
no more.
At all. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, are you wrapping up?
Yeah, I'm wrapping up.
Okay, make sure
we just introduced a lot to y'all today.
We did.
Make sure, like, you please tap in. We really want to know how do y'all feel about the new setup. How do y'all feel about us coming back to the old studio? How y'all feel about, again, just the new structure of the pod and stuff? We really want feedback on that. So if you are one of our avid listeners and you want to give that response or whatever, we will really appreciate it. Niggas might be doing something nice, so
yeah,
you know.
We might have missed the fucking mark with fucking Halloween. All right, it was a lot going on. We didn't have costumes, of course, financially. Boom, we gave a lot of shit that we could have, but we didn't. Yes. Shit, life be happening, nigga. Life yes. be the fuck happening.
But if you want to send us in some costumes and shit, we might dress up yep. for November. Fuck
literally,
it.
we might do something for y'all. You
I'm
know?
A 2X.
But also, once again, always thank y'all for being awkward. We appreciate everything. We mm-hmm. appreciate every time, you know, whether it's one comment or no comments. We know that you're listening. We know that it resonates, and we know that we got a space for our people. So we appreciate you every time. And I'm Nas.
I'm Vince.
Until next time. I meant to say that earlier. We're trying this shit. Fuck it. Thank you for being awkward, and see you next week.